this morning, wonderfully, we got George with us. And it's a delight to have you here, my man. Yeah, it's been great, the ministry so far. He leads a church in Centurion called Highway. Was in business, got called into ministry, and we welcome you. Let me pray. Lord, we are so blessed to be gathering in a facility like this to gather around your word, to learn of your purposes. We ask that you would speak to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great. So wonderful to be with you. A really amazing city you live in, eh? But you know that. So this morning I want to talk to you. I call it a lot to think about. And it actually is about Abraham and Lot. And I think you'll understand what I mean with that. So let me ask you firstly, and I think for time's sake, I want to encourage you afterwards. Why not just go read through this and allow God to, to speak specific things to you. But let me start by asking, what are you really living for? You know, when I look at a river, is this better? When I look at a river, it's only dead things that go with the flow. Hey. It's the things that's alive that tries to go against the flow. And I think we're living, in a society that's trying to get us to go down a flow. And it's not natural for us to go against what's happening around us. So I always ask men to say, are you in it just to have a good time? Or are you in it to leave a good legacy? Because I think if I'm just here to have a good time, my life will end very different than someone that says, no, I actually want to leave a legacy. And I think one of the greatest things that men can do is to leave a legacy. So what I want to highlight from the story about Abraham and Lot is really the contrast between a man who was fully devoted to God, living for the world that is to come, and a man who tried to live for both worlds, this world and maybe the world that is to come. One lived by sight, and one lived by faith. And I think so easily, fortunately, Centurion doesn't have a mountain, but I think it's very easy here to live by sight. Beautiful places, homes, wine farms and all of these things. And I think it's so important for us to realize wherever God has placed us, that we continue to live by faith, that we continue to allow ourselves to be stretched and pulled into his purposes and not settle for the things that we can see. We are often, the word says we are called to be in the world, but not of the world. And I like someone used this example once of a boat. This boat, you could call it, say, the local church is riding on this river. And in the river is people that's busy drowning. And we're trying to get people into this boat. But I don't know much about boating, but what I do know is you want the water outside, not inside the boat. Hey? Now, what often happens is, so often we allow the things of the world to come into the boat with us. And then the boat starts to go slower and it becomes all difficult inside. And for me, that's such a beautiful picture of how we are called to, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of it, and not allow the things and the thinking and all of these things into this boat, but keep it outside. Hey? So unlike Abraham, Lot was a person who was easily influenced. Unlike a Moses or a Daniel or John the Baptist or Paul, who had strong convictions, especially under fierce trial, Lot was more like the UN. Hey, there's a big difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. Hey, so we are not called blessed are the peace. Yeah, not peacekeepers, but the peacemakers. And I think as men, you even find it probably in your household. To be a peacemaker is often far harder, hey, than to just be a peacekeeper. And I think sometimes as men, we can overlook things and we don't get angry about the, things that's important. And we just try and keep the peace, hey? Because they say if mama ain't happy, no one is happy, hey? But I think as men, we have to lead. We have to, just put these things in place. Now, this story starts with Abraham's father, Terah. He leaves Ur of the Chaldeans and he settles in Haran. Let me read to you. He says, Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, so they were on their way to a journey, but they settled. So let's just talk about this place called Haran. Now, Haran was halfway between the land that Abram was called to and the land he was called from. So maybe the question is, so what? Well, Terah, his father, came only halfway out of the place God intended him to go. And I think a good many men have got to Haran where they remain. They are not more than half converted. They want to live on the borders all the while. They neither enjoy the world, nor do they enjoy Christ. They have enough religion to make them wretched, but not enough to make them joyful. They need some calamity to bring them completely out of the world, and so it was with Abram and Lot. So this morning again, we have to ask ourselves, am I committed to entering into where God has got me? And can I say the finish line is in heaven? I mean, we spoke this morning, this whole concept of retirement, as opposed to rather a repurposing, a recommissioning. God continues to repurpose and recommission us. Hey? Everyone wants to come here to retire. And what happens is when we don't continue to move, when we don't enter fully in to what God has got for us until the end, you know, we find ourselves in between these two things. Halfway out, but not, you know, halfway in. So after 5 years of living in Haran, God appears to Abram, telling him to leave Haran, to the place God would show him. And what does Abram do? He responds to God's call. And what does he do? He takes his family and his nephew Lot with him to the place that God would show him. Because God said, I will make you into a great nation. Now we live in a world where, you know, we are called to make a name for ourselves. You know, we always have this beautiful example of Genesis 11 and Genesis 12. Genesis 11 is, let us make a name for ourselves. But Genesis 12 is, no, Abram, walk with me and I will make your name great. So again, God is calling us. He says to him, yeah, I will make you a great nation. So he tells him all of these things. He says, but you need to just walk. He doesn't give him, you know, a lot of directions and things. And I think so often it would be great if we know everything, or maybe sometimes it's better not to know where we're going, because we probably would have run the other way a long time before, hey? Now, as long as Lot stayed with Abram, things went well with him. And likewise, will you do well when you walk close to godly men? I think more than ever, especially over the last 2 years, a lot of people are lonely. Can I ask you this morning, men, are you lonely? Are you walking with godly men? You know, there's just something about men. You know, we cowboys don't cry, you know. Men, we sort of keep everything at an arm's length and things like that. But it's so important for us to have godly men that we walk with. Now, what we see here, Lot, as long as he walked close to Abram, he prospered. You know, and what is a godly man? Someone who values the word. Someone who values the Holy Spirit. Someone who values local church. Someone who wants to live for something greater than themselves. You see, I do not know of one person that has left the local church that I've been part of, and I've been in some churches. I do not know one person that's left it and is doing well. I don't know if you do. What's interesting is when someone leaves the local church, they become weird. They become judgmental. It usually starts with home church. Then it goes to weird church. And then it goes to no church. Hey? And then they become, you know, they become social media guys. That's got all their opinions and things. And they sign up to all these weird, funny doctrines and all of these things. They become like a sailor tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So can I say, friend, the best thing that you can do for yourself and your family is to get them rooted into a local church. I've seen people who've done that, and sometimes we don't know what the future holds. I often say to people, we don't come to church now. We don't invest in relationships now. We don't go to life groups and all of these things now, for now. We go for something in the future, because it's just something about even our children growing up in a community where different people, you know, there's a time, You know, if you've got teenage children, you'll realize it when you are the last person they want to hear anything from. But it's amazing they're open to others around these things. And so God has designed this amazing thing called the local church where we get work together. You know, that we were together, God changes us and shapes us and makes us the people he's called us to be. I think so often we can read the scripture and we can apply it to me. But if you actually go look at the context there, you'll see all these things is called to a community. Hey, we are called to, because we are better together. Hey? So why be rooted in a healthy local family? Why is this important? You see, because I think we are more than Lot, than Abraham. I think we are easily swayed and influenced by others. Like a branch, we are easily carried down the river of this road if someone is not next to us to say, hey, wait a minute, that's not good. I always say, show me your friends. I'll prophesy your future for you. Show me your friends. You know, 1 Corinthians, 15:33 says, do not be misled. There's a leading that takes place. You know, bad company corrupts good character. Because if I take a clean stream and I take a dirty stream, I put those together, will it stay clean? And I've often said to people, you know, so many are trying to pull people up. Yes? And actually end up getting pulled down. You know, one of the things I had to do, and again, that's me, but when I got saved, I just got such a conviction of friends and all these things. And I've been a bad friend to many, bad influence to many before I was saved. So it's not like I was this perfect guy. But I realized if I'm going to walk this road with God, I'm going to have to align myself. I have to get next to godly men. And I can say every friend that I had, it was not nice at the time, to let go of those unhelpful friendships. God has restored a million times to me godly men and friends, you know, for this wonderful journey. So I have a testimony of being out of fellowship for a while, which almost destroyed my life, my marriage, my future. But I also have a testimony of being in a community. I can say, friend, the local church saved my life. The local church has given me and my family purpose and a future and a dream way beyond even our wildest imaginations. Maybe you think I'm talking about others. You know, surely not I, Lord. Think you are strong enough on your own that you're not influenced by the world. Here's a little test. Let me ask you, over the last few years, how much have you grown in holiness? In purity? In your appetite for God? I always think of the Sermon on the Mount. If that is a mirror, if I look in the Sermon on the Mount, is my life and my behavior, is it becoming more and more reflected through that what I read there? How much closer have you grown to God? We live in a world that's all about independence. You know, Lot wanted to be independent of Abraham. Yes? We live in a world that celebrates independence. And again, I don't want my children to live in my house. You know, my son wear Spider-Man pajamas and he's 40, living in the basement. You know, being a YouTuber, you know. So yes, I want them to, raising them to go and start their own family. We want that. But somehow we bring that thinking into our walk with God. And think that, you know, maturity means independence, when maturity means dependence on God. The most mature person in this church is the one who's the most dependent upon God. And understand how dependent they are on godly friendships and relationships. You see, there's no middle ground, as we see in this story, or no man's land. So we have to choose, you know, for me, You're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. There's no park when it comes to this walk with God. I have found I'm either moving forward or backwards. Hey? Now, a crisis came to Abram and Lot. And they had to move on. And not to settle, but to move closer to the promised land God intended for them. And there was this whole famine and they ended up in Egypt. And Abram lied about his wife being his sister. And he was eventually kicked out of Egypt. and all of these things happened to them so that they can continue to move to the land God had for them. So what do we see here? You know, often or sometimes when we start to settle, God is far more interested in getting us in to the place he's got for us, right, than we are. And what does God do? He brings about difficult circumstances so that Abram and Lot could continue to move. You see, friend, God always takes us out of something to take us into something. He doesn't just take us out and then, you know, we live in this no man's land. He never wants us to settle, never to put our lives in neutral, never to stop progressing in God. I always love Paul, you know, I always ask men, you know, what are you content with and what are you striving for? For Paul, he was content with his lot in life. He left that to God. But he was striving for his relationship with God. And I think we often do it the other way around. We are content where we are spiritually. I'll be the business guy. My wife can be the spiritual one. Yes? Not in this beautiful church, but those other guys in those other churches, I know. Hey? In Centurion, yeah. You see, the whole point is God always wants us. He wants us to actually be faithful and content where he's placed us with our lot in life. Because from faithfulness he promotes. But to strive our whole life for our relationship with him, that I may know him. Hey? That was Paul's greatest desire, that I may know him. I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Hey? So God's plan is to get you to the place he made you for. Do you know that when God made this earth, he said, this world needs, there's a gap here. This world needs a very specific person. That's how he created you, to fill a very specific purpose. He didn't just play around with some clay and then he says, okay, this starts to look like a person and let's just call this person something. No, he says, no, there's a gap there. And that's God's plan for every one of us, to get us into that place of influence, that place of usefulness, a place of living by faith. So, difficulty, they get going on again. So Abram went up from Egypt, you know, with his wife and all that he had, and he went to the place until he came to Bethel, the place between Bethel and Ai. And what happened here is, actually they came, that very place where him and Lot stood, was on the border of the promised land. And yet, so often we can get so close to what God has got for us. And here, Lot and Abram separate, and Lot on the verge of the place where God has promised and he's going to do amazing things, Lot chooses to go rather live in Sodom. Eh? So Lot, as I said, prospered because of his association with Abram, and eventually he did so well that he decided to separate. Because the land was not able to support them both. And the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot started to quarrel. And now they had so much flocks. But why did he have these flocks? You know, I know in our church, there's something about a corporate blessing upon a body. We spoke yesterday, you know, you did not lose anyone in this church due to COVID. Yes? Am I right? That's not normal. Have you considered these things? You know, we have had people over the last 2 years that got dream jobs, started amazing business because there's a blessing upon a community. And somehow we think over a while, no, actually I'm blessed because I'm so awesome. And again, it doesn't take, you know, doesn't saying you don't have to work hard and use your skills and talents and abilities and influence and all these things. But there's a blessing of being together. There's a blessing. But what does Lot do? Lot says, now what? I've got too much stuff. We're fighting now. Let me rather separate. Let me rather separate from this man, Abram, so I can go and do my own thing. So let's just pause to consider what's happening here. Lot increased because he was close to Abram. And likewise, do we increase when we walk close to our heavenly Abram, Jesus? I know when I'm close to God, there's a very different life. an outcome than those that do not live close to God. Yet over time, we start to think it's because of our genius that we do so well. Again, I say, Lot prospered because of Abram, and likewise, do we prosper because of God? Because we are rooted in a local church, because it is, God says it's in and through the local church. He wants to make his manifold wisdom known. Almost done. So Abraham decided to be a better man, and he rather said, you know what? You choose. I'm going to trust God. Hey? You see, Bethel, as I say, was on the boundary of the promised land. And here Lot made a fatal choice which would cost him everything. Everything. He escaped with the clothes on his back. Hey? How often has Christians been so close to what God has got for them? Come so close to the place God has got for them and they choose not to enter in. So I wonder where you are today. Are you facing difficulty or are you facing prosperity? You know what, friends? We need wise advice. You know why they traveled so long in the wilderness, Moses and the Israelites, for 40 years? Because even then, men didn't like to ask for directions. Hey. You know, it's just something we're just not good at. I don't know about you, but in Centurion, we're not good at this. We don't like to ask for advice. You know, it's like, you can tell me anything, just don't tell me what to do. Hey? So, and that's how men are. And I've seen people, I know, I've taken choices. I've made choices on my own. Disaster. And I've made choices where I've just spoken to godly men. Say, hey, just what do you think about this? And it's been amazing. It's not always been the outcome, or I didn't always hear what I wanted to hear. But it's helped me just getting that wisdom. Hey, so anyway, so here they make a choice. You know, some people often, you know, when they're in trouble, they climb out of the oven. Now, I don't know much about baking, but I do know, don't open that oven while that cake is busy rising. You see, and so often, friends, God can put us under pressure, and because either he's trying to get us out of something into something, or he can put us under pressure because he's busy getting us ready for something. And I've seen too often in our quick fix generation, you know, we don't believe in 2-minute noodles anymore. Now it must be 1-minute noodles, you know. Or we want to just open the packet. We just, you know, everything must just happen like this. That we don't like trouble. We don't like difficulty. We don't like a life that you know, Jesus said, in this world you have trouble. We would call him today a false prophet. Hey? Because this life, again I say, if this life calls us to go against the grain, against the stream of what we're facing. And what happens so often is, I see someone going in a difficult spot, maybe in their workplace, maybe you're there right now, and oh, my boss is ugly with me, and they just jump out. Or it's becoming too difficult in this church. In this church, you know, they want me to come here on a, you know, like on a, what is it, Tuesday night and a Sunday. I mean, come on, man. This is a serious commitment these guys are asking of me. And what happens is people pop out. Hey? I often laugh. People are tired. And then what's the first thing they do is they cut church. Yes? And I'm like, you know, everything else in your life draws from you. Everything. This is the only place where you actually receive something. I don't know how it works, but when I serve in the church, I've just got a different energy. I see people who stopped all these church things, and they look even more haggard. They look even more tired, you know, down the line. Anyway, there must be a centurion thing. So Lot chose by sight. Abraham chose by faith. Lot chose to go to the city that he could see. Friends, God made us. We are a visual people. We can easily be captivated by visual things. For what he could see, Abraham chose the city you could not see, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham chose to live where God wanted him to live. Lot chose to live where he wanted to live, which turned out to be one of the most wicked cities in the world. So how often do Christians choose like Lot? making choices by sight rather than being led by God. Going for the job that pays better in a remote city. Buying the car or house that you cannot afford. Going into excessive debts to acquire the things you always wanted, needed. Fear of the future, moving your children to a godless nation. You know, we've got friends that move to Europe and America and all these places, you know, because, oh, it's not unsafe here. But friend, don't you understand, like Lot, you are taking them into a crazy world of temptation. And as we see with Lot, it's far easier to lead our families into temptation than out of it. When it was time and there's trouble, Lot couldn't get his family out. To listen rather to people who tell you what you want to hear. To fellowship in the church where you don't get challenged. Hey? Is this a church where you are challenged? It's good. It's a very good thing when you are being challenged, because that's opportunities to grow. Or take that job with the long hours that avoid you from seeing your family. You know how often I've seen men give all of their health to get wealth. And once they have it, they spend all of their wealth to get health. Hey? Destroying their families, destroying their marriages. Hey, but I got it. I got to the top. I've got all the toys I've always wanted. Where's your family, friend? Hey? Ultimately, I'm not so sure we're going to stand before Jesus. And I look at my nice toys, Jesus. No, where's your wife? Where's your children? Hey? Lot allowed the world to get the advantage. And this is where thousands of Christians are failing today, really willing to live close to sin and temptation. Because it says Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. You see, friend, in this world, I always say to my kids as well, you know, if you don't want to fall off a cliff, don't walk close to the cliff. it's like not rocket science. But, you know, so often we want to flirt with the cliff. Hey, Lot says he pitches his tent away, but towards. So I wonder this morning, how are you pitching your tent? Are you pitching it towards that secretary? Are you pitching it towards that enticing place? Or I don't know. Because so often, whatever we're pitching our lives towards, it might not be close. Very soon we find Lot living in that very place. But he was probably like many men around us. He was careless, covetous. He looked to the right, looked to the left, and he looked towards Sodom. And he observed this well-watered place. Imagine him saying, now if I'll take these well-watered plains, I can accumulate wealth very fast. I know Sodom is a wicked place, but I will not go to Sodom. And very soon, he's the mayor there. Hey? He's there at the gate, you know, one of those guys. So many are trying to get rich quick, wanting to take shortcuts, willing to work crazy long hours, as I say, giving health to get wealth, then spending all of their wealth to get health. Eh? So, at first he did not intend to go to Sodom, but as I say, he pitched his tent towards that. So, are you progressing in the faith, friend? Healthy men, healthy families, healthy children, healthy communities. If we want to change this city, if we want to change our cities, it starts with men. Men who will stand up like Abraham, willing to live in tents close to God rather than in the well-watered plains of Sodom. Eh? Are you surrounded by godly men? Are you someone that's open to input? Do you make your life choices based on faith or by sight? Or are you living on the edge of Sodom? So this morning, hopefully I've given you a lot to think about. And I want to encourage you, why not go read the story of Abraham and Lot? Because it's two beautiful pictures of one man that lived to have a good time and another man who lived to leave a good legacy. Where's Lot today? Abraham, let's look. We are here today because we have the same faith and example as Abraham. Hey, amen. Yeah, Father, I thank you that you love us too much to leave us the way we are. And I want to thank you that you have got such great plans and such great futures for us. And I pray this morning again, would you help us, Lord, just to consider again, who am I? Am I more like Lot or more like Abraham? And would you help us, Lord, to make that adjustment? Would you help us to be men that lead, men that go in the front, men that show their families a different way, a devotion to God? Lord, would you help us, Lord, not to so pursue and accumulate things at the cost of actual things that really matter, Lord? Lord, I want to pray for these men, Lord. I want to pray, may you continue to shape them. May you continue to draw them closer. Would you continue to open doors before them that no man can shut? I pray for great favor upon them, upon everything that they do. And I pray that they would firstly lead their families into the ways and purposes of God. Lord, may you do amazing things, we pray. Amen.